Welcome to the Side Action Podcast, the sports gambling show that covers everything in the world of sports betting from A through Z. We'll cover the four major sports, as well as anything and everything in between worth some action, and we'll increase the size of your bankroll. And here we go.
Welcome to the Side Action, episode 52. This is Jim Weglars, a.k.a. Wegs. You can follow me at Wegspool on Twitter and Instagram.
And this is Steve Roberts, a.k.a. Action. You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
Follow the pod on Side Action Pod on Twitter. So, Action, we've kind of been talking a lot lately as we had the special episode, but has anything happened in the last 2 days that of note?
A huge snowstorm here in Detroit. 8 inches of snow on Monday, which kind of caught me by surprise. So I've just been digging out the past day and a half and watching some college hoops mainly. How about yourself?
Nothing huge. Obviously, it's like winter, the dead of winter in Chicago in early November or mid-November. It's unseasonably cold here. Record cold 4 days in a row. Wow. We had snow as well. Not the 8 inches you mentioned on the pod or before the pod, but I woke up to 9 degrees yesterday with a wind chill of -4. That's not really November 12th weather or whatever it was.
Ouch.
Yeah, I wasn't ready for that. My body's not ready for that. I haven't eaten enough cheese yet to give myself that fat layer. So it's been a little rough this week. But as we mentioned, I'm headed out of town for business tomorrow, New Orleans, and then possibly Miami. So I'm going to the warm weather for a couple days.
Yeah, ditto here. I'm taking the lady to Las Vegas for the weekend. We're going out Friday night and staying all weekend. It's going to be in the mid-70s, so I'm looking forward to it.
You are going to miss the light rain, but that's okay. You'll catch them in the next time around.
That's right. I'm sure I'll be back.
Awesome. Let's go over the episode here. We've got we don't have any legislative or informational updates this week. We do have our college football recap from last week, our stats and preview for this week. We'll go into the NFL as always, go over general statistical information, both our metrics that we like to follow, and then jump into the spots for this week in the circuit contest. Not doing so good, Action, but whatever.
That's all right. Bounce back.
So let's just jump right into it. College football recap. Let's positive side. We kicked ass last week, man. We went 7-2. Is that right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, 7-2 as a pod. We had two hits early with, I guess it was Central Florida lost on, I think it was Friday night. And it was kind of weird. They blew a lead, ended up losing outright to Tulsa at Tulsa 34-31. They were 17-point favorites on the road. And then the other loss was, I guess that was Saturday night, Washington State. They actually didn't win as well. They lost outright to Cal and kind of got beaten down 33-20. Other than that, we just kind of rolled this week, didn't we?
Yeah, it was an epic weekend, capped off by upset Minnesota over Penn State, winning the game 31-26, and now moves to 9-0. And this Minnesota Golden Gophers team has their sights set on the Big Ten Championship and maybe the college football playoff.
Absolutely. I mean, if they win out, obviously they'll have to play Ohio State, likely, on the other side of the bracket there. They will have to represent. I mean, you can't deny them, even though the committee still doesn't have them in the top four, right?
Yeah, 10th, I think I saw yesterday. And the other big game this weekend was obviously LSU and Alabama. And it was pretty clear to me from the outset that Tua just wasn't 100% healthy. He had that opening drive where he just inexplicably dropped the ball. And at that point, I was thinking, oh, that's not good for my over. But LSU just cruised throughout the rest of the game, and Joe Burrow was awesome again, and this game went flying over the total.
Yeah, 46-41 was the final. Alabama was a 6-point favorite. You know, in that game, I watched it quite a bit. I got to watch it. I haven't really watched Alabama all year. We've watched a little bit of LSU in some bigger games. The commentators hit it on the head, especially in the first quarter and a half or so. Alabama wasn't ready for this level of competition. LSU came out. They did their thing. They were finding guys wide open all over the field despite Alabama trying to play them man-to-man, which I thought was a mistake. Burrow was on the money. And then Alabama started to get some momentum, made some plays. Second half was a totally different game. They were really far down in this game and roared back. They weren't going to win it. Well, I guess they could have, but Alabama made it close in the end. Tua was dropping dimes in the second half, though. He looked great once he got going, and they really never got to Burrow. And you'll have to help me with the running back for LSU. He has two names. Edwards is one of them. That dude balled out. He made some huge plays down the stretch.
Edwards Shelaire.
There you go. Edwards Shelaire. He was really good. He helped get over the top on a couple of like third and longs and stuff like that, and made a nice play to score to put the Tigers over the top. So all kudos to Joe Burrow and the gang. And despite no defense for either team, it was a hell of a game to watch.
Joe Burrow finished with 393 passing yards and three more touchdowns, zero interceptions. Mm-hmm. And now, I don't know if you've seen, across the market, he's minus 600 to win the Heisman Trophy. So all but locked up at this point, and I can start counting my check.
It's his to lose, certainly, if he has a crummy game, maybe. But he did do it in the big game, and that was important. Just some of the other ones that hit off. Texas Tech, of course, took care of West Virginia easily. We knew that. Mm-hmm. My Miami call did come through. They romped against Louisville at home. They didn't have that letdown like we had mentioned possible from Florida State. Baylor did barely win, actually. It took overtime. Actually, it was double or triple overtime to beat TCU at TCU. They kind of got lucky to cover that one. It was a late field goal to tie it, and then the overtime, it was just kind of back and forth. Tennessee did win at Kentucky, another tight cover for me. They were 1-point dogs on the road, but they were able to play great defense in the second half and shut out Kentucky. And then we already mentioned the LSU and the Minnesota. So let's keep it rolling, eh, Action?
Yeah, sounds good. Let's get to it.
SP Plus, no real shocks here, except that LSU hasn't eclipsed Alabama. So Ohio State's still number one. Alabama 2, LSU 3. They're only within, 0.8 of Alabama. And I did see Bill Conley kind of explaining himself even before it came out that this might happen. Georgia at 4, Oklahoma at 5, a little surprising. Clemson at 6, Penn State still at 7, Utah, Auburn, then Florida. It's a little surprising that Minnesota was in the top 10 last week and then they aren't this week. But, they're just numbers, right?
Yeah, exactly. I was surprised to see that Alabama did not drop down below LSU. Can you explain what was Connolly's reasoning behind that?
I think it's basically the buildup over time, right? Mm-hmm. It's just that Alabama crushed their competition, and I don't know if there really is a strength of schedule metric in his stuff, so it isn't really factored in. And unfortunately, head-to-head, just like Penn State and Minnesota, Penn State remains in the top 10 and Minnesota falls out. Why? Because they gave up points to Penn State. I mean, they won the game. So it's not a wins and losses thing. That's kind of what he said with a Twitter banter to somebody. It's not about wins and losses. It's about the efficiency. So I'm sure that they will eclipse Alabama eventually if they keep wining,
Yeah, and ultimately it's not like this is how the playoff gets chosen. So it's just a matter of predictive analytics, not necessarily who's going to be in the Final Four.
Exactly. Let's go over some of the injuries from college football of note. Arizona State's quarterback, Jaden Daniels, did miss Saturday's game with an undisclosed injury. We're not sure if he's going to play against Oregon State. That's pretty big in the handicap.
Yeah, definitely. Oregon State's been rolling of late, too. And this one, the line is indicative of Jaden Daniels possibly being out.
Right. LSU did have an injury in the secondary to Christian Fulton. Well, we'll see if he plays against Ole Miss. I don't know if he needs to, but it's probably more important to gear up for the end of the season, right?
Yeah, no doubt about that.
Missouri's Kelly Bryant had a hamstring issue. He didn't play against Georgia, of course. He's not sure about this week either, right?
No, all I'm reading is that he may not be in there this week, and I think that will be a big miss against Florida's defense.
Absolutely. And then our guy, Kadon Slovis, he left the game on Saturday. They still were able to cover their matchup, but they're going to need him against Cal this week.
Definitely. That one's going to be interesting to monitor as well. Although I didn't read that the four-string quarterback came in and performed well last week.
Well, they got those receivers, man. Those receivers are studs. So
yeah, I could probably throw it up to him.
Action, going deep. So what spots do we like here in week 12? I mean, is it the penultimate week? There's like what, another? I know there's some games around Thanksgiving, but a lot of seasons are wrapping up in the next couple weeks, right?
3 weeks left in the regular season for most teams, I think. Mm-hmm. They've got this week and then the week after, and then it's rivalry weekend, which comes after Thanksgiving this year. Okay. So The first one I've picked out is Navy, midshipmen going on the road to Notre Dame. And this line has come crashing down. It opened at 12, 11 in some spots on Sunday, but now sits at Navy plus 7.5 points. And I think that is a pretty indicative line move as to where the smart money is in this game. And Navy has been phenomenal in this matchup. The last six seasons, they've covered against Notre Dame five times, and they have one outright win in 2016. And looking to this season, they're 6-2 against the spread, and they're really buoyed by a very strong running game. They're fifth ranked, averaging 6.1 yards per carry. And I think ultimately this one's going to come down to that Navy running game against the Notre Dame defense, where Navy scores touchdowns, 100% red zone scoring, and Notre Dame allows a lot of touchdowns. They're 126th ranked in red zone scoring defense. So I like Navy in this game, and I think they have a live chance to win it outright, to be honest.
I agree with you. I'm all over this game. I got a 9.5, not as early as 12. I would have loved that. Mm-hmm. But I do think, you know, SP Plus has this game really at 5, you know. So you're getting value even now at 7.5, not as much as before. And I do think that they're in play for that. And what is the money line in this one? Did you take a peek at that?
No, I haven't looked at it. That's might good. Be worth a small nibble.
It's plus 230. That's good value there. And I just think the American, as we've talked on other podcasts, the American Athletic Conference is almost better than the ACC this year. And Navy is one of those teams that's been in there, and they've been grinding all year. And they put up points. That entire conference pretty much puts up points. And I'm not sure Notre Dame can. I don't know about Navy's D, but I don't think they can keep up with Navy's offense. So all over it.
Yep, agreed.
You were all over Mississippi State against Alabama, 8.5 point dogs at Alabama. What do you think in this, a letdown spot?
18.5. I like it a little bit more. No, it was 21 a couple of days ago. So again, okay, another big line mover. But at 18.5, I still think this is a play. A couple of factors here. First off is Tua's health, which I think the whole world saw was a little bit spotty. And quite frankly, he was rusty in that first half.
Oh, yeah.
I do think, like you mentioned, he got on track a little bit in the second half. But I attribute that to LSU kind of letting up a little bit once they had a large lead.
Right.
And outside of that, Mississippi State has a scheduling advantage here. They're coming off a bye week. And Alabama obviously is coming off that huge deflating loss at home to LSU. And I think it is kind of a letdown spot for them. So I like Mississippi State. I think they're going to look to run the ball and keep this game low scoring, which gives them an advantage with all those points.
I did misspeak. I think Mississippi State is hosting this game. That was my mistake.
Yep.
Yeah, you've got Saban is 4-12 against the spread after a loss. Now, granted, how many times has this dude lost?
Not very many.
But I don't know. I'd stay away personally. I think all the points you make sense to me. Crushing defeat? Yes, of course, they should have won. They definitely got manhandled early. They showed me something a second. I just wonder if they're going to come out and open a can of whoop-ass on whoever they play in the next 3 weeks, you know, because that's their only path. I mean, a lot of people still have them in the Final Four, or at least the Final Five or something. I don't. I mean, I think that was their shot. The SEC West, they're being represented by LSU unless they lose. So the other thing, too, to help your handicap, aren't they playing the Iron Bowl next week?
No, it's in 2 weeks.
Oh, okay, okay. So they still got time. It's not a look-ahead spot. So it's definitely could be a letdown. 18.5 points is a lot. I can't do it against Alabama right this second. I just think they're going to come up whoop-ass.
Yeah, I mean, conventional wisdom would tell you that off of a loss, they're going to come out and play harder. But I don't think that these kids are used to losing. So
true.
It's kind of a new situation for them, and it's going to be really interesting to see how they fare this weekend.
True. Okay. Well, the one I'm on, and I know you're on the total, is Indiana. They're getting 14.5 points at Penn State. I actually got it early at 15.5. You know, I've shown the Hoosiers a lot of love, or they've shown them a lot to me and winning. And I'm all over this team. You know, Ramsey's in there now with Penix out. But Penn State, it could work the same kind of handicap in terms of them getting a little crushing blow at Minnesota. You know, they're still in the mix, I guess, theoretically, if they win out, because they can beat Ohio State. But Indiana has just surprised teams and played really well, especially offensively. And Franklin isn't a great – he's not great at covering the numbers. So I'm all over them. I'd probably still take it at 14.5. As long as it's over 14, I'd like it. And you like the over.
Yeah, I do. I'm with you as well, though, on Indiana. I think similar to the Alabama handicap, Penn State under James Franklin is only 3-12 against the spread after a loss. Mm-hmm. So similar spot for them where they're coming off the big defeat at Minnesota last weekend. And Indiana has a legit offense. They're ranked 15th now in SP Plus. And even though we both know Michael Penix is out, and that certainly takes them down a small peg, backup Peyton Ramsey has been awesome this season, completing over 72% of his passes, and he has a 9-3 touchdown interception ratio. Mm-hmm. Both of these teams are averaging almost 32 points a game on offense, and Minnesota is even higher than Indiana, 11th ranked. So I think that there's going to be plenty of points scored in this game. And even though Penn State has a pretty good defense, I think Minnesota showed last week that it has some chinks in that armor, especially in the secondary when Minnesota was throwing all over them. So I like the over. I also took Indiana as well with the points.
Nice. Nice to be on the same side as you, action. One of the teams that I have not won any money on, but I have been eyeing for a couple weeks, is Louisiana Lafayette. I believe they're the Raging Cajuns.
Yep.
They're up to 28.5. That's a very large number. It's too bad it's over the four touchdowns now at South Alabama. I got this at 25 early because I really wanted to bet this team. And I understand last week the books in Vegas couldn't even write a ticket on these guys, even though they covered easily. This team has definitely been getting it done. And as you've noted, 7-1 against the spread. So I'm just trying to jump on board. It's a little bit late, but I'll take it. I think they're going to romp. I just hope it's more than the 25 points I got. And for you guys out there, more than 28.5.
Actually, I'm looking on the odd screen now. It's now 27.5 at that online. So for those of you interested, get on it early. Mm-hmm. I think this is a good pick. As you mentioned, 7-1 against the spread this season. And they're covering by huge margins, almost 11.6 points per game above the spread expected outcome. So they're not just beating opponents, they're crushing opponents, and mostly behind a really good run game. They're fourth ranked in FBS, averaging 6.2 yards per carry. So I think this is a solid selection.
Yeah, I like them. You know, they're in the Sun Belt. That's with the App State and everything. And I just like this team. And they're going to be a team I want to see who they match up with in the bowls, because they're going to surprise somebody if they're not ready, you know? Mm-hmm. Okay, the next one is Minnesota at Iowa. Minnesota came off the big win. That was a huge win. They had that soft schedule we talked about. You backed them. I didn't in my bets, but I should have. This team's really good. And, you know, Fleck, a hell of a coach. They're going to Iowa and getting points. And I understand Iowa's traditionally been one of those teams that can knock off a big opponent every year. I'm not sure it's this Iowa team. And Minnesota should be favored in this game. Getting points is a gift. So I'm all over it. Did I say plus three?
Minnesota plus three. It looks like it's pretty much three across the board. There are a couple of 2.5s out there, so definitely make sure you do some line chopping. Mm-hmm. This one is tricky for me. It certainly does seem like Minnesota is on a tear of none other, but going on the road to Kinnick is going to be a difficult task for them, and they really haven't been in a situation like this season, and clearly not in the past few seasons. Iowa has a pretty solid defense, and that was the one thing that I looked into before handicapping this game. And we know that Minnesota's passing game is where they lead the charge, third ranked in yards per pass. But Iowa's actually really good in opponent yards per pass, only giving up 6 yards per passing attempt. So I think that this one's going to be a little bit lower scoring and should be really close, and ultimately is likely to be a coin flip, but one that I'm going to pass on.
Okay. I hear you. I already bet it.
I hope they win. I would love to see them in the Big Ten championship.
Yeah, and we've talked about it. You've already had the future on them, so you're sitting pretty right now. Them in the Big Ten West, right?
Yeah, if they win this game, I think they all but lock it up. They would have to beat Wisconsin, but even with the loss to Wisconsin, I think they could make the championship.
That's right. The next game is Florida at Missouri. I'm seeing Florida as a 7-point favorite at the Tigers. I'm mainly looking at, well, two things. My handicap is on the number, on the SP Plus, this is an accurate number. It's the right number per the metric. So it's more about Florida, I think, played that murderer's row of a schedule. They're finally coming into an easier section of the schedule. And Missouri, who was really good a few weeks ago, has just been in a tailspin. I don't know what's going on with them. With Kelly Bryant, without Kelly Bryant, they're not getting it done. And I just see Florida going in and just destroying this team in Columbia. Maybe I'm wrong about that. What do you think?
No, I like this pick too. We talked about Kelly Bryant's injury earlier in the show, and I think that is going to loom large in this one. And if you just look at the past few games, Missouri has been in a tailspin. Mm-hmm. They're now 0-4 against the spread in their last four games after covering the previous four. So it's clear that this team is trending in the downward direction. And this Florida team is very solid, led by their defense. So I think that if you're laying points, you want to do it with a good defense, and that's what you have in this one.
Absolutely. And it's at 7. It's not like it's 8. You know, it's not a weird number. So it may be a push, but I'll take that. Two more games. West Virginia, they're on here again, action. I'm just picking on them at this point. Sorry, Mountaineers. But they're also, this is a double handicap for me. Kansas State is at home, and they're 14-point favorites at home at this moment. I really like Kansas State. I just like this team. They're playing really well. They should have probably beaten Texas last week, you know, to probably play in the Big 12 title game. But so what? They're playing really good football, and West Virginia is not. So I'm just kind of trying to stay hot with this one, and the line should be more like 20. So I think it's kind of really seeing that's a letdown spot after the Texas loss, but I don't see it because West Virginia isn't that team. So I'd, you know, lay the 14 points.
I think that you're spot on here. Chris Kleiman has really got this team rolling now. They've covered four in a row, and I think you've been against West Virginia almost every week this year, with the only loss coming that Thursday night game against Baylor. So
yeah.
Can't quit them now. Keep riding them. I'm with
you. That's right. That's my squad. That's my anti-squad.
The fade squad.
Exactly. So, yeah. Okay. The last one is Missouri. Another. I'm like a broken record every week. I know it's boring.
But, Memphis, right.
Memphis is laying 10 points at Houston. Again, this SP Plus play says it should be 17. They're a 10-point favorite. I know that they don't stop anybody. And Houston sometimes can score. They certainly can't stop anybody. So I'm all over Memphis as this team just keeps rolling through the AAC.
I think we talk about it almost every week when you pick Memphis, but the SP Plus really loves this team for some reason, and the odds makers just haven't gotten it right. I think the big component when you want to handicap Memphis games is the opponent's rushing defense. Mm-hmm. And when you look at Houston, they are 123rd ranked against the rush. So I think Memphis is in for a big day on the ground, and that certainly is going to go a long way to covering 10 points.
That's right. Sorry, Cougs. I was on you early in the season. Now I'm against you. So
I like it.
Yeah. All right. Let's jump to the NFL now. We've got the recap. I mean, first of all, a couple of great games. I mean, you've put down here the 49ers game, but the Dallas-Minnesota game was incredible. That was just an excellent game. And it's almost a shame that somebody had to lose except the clapper. He always loses. So his decisions have Tavon Austin fair catch the that punt is inexplicable. I just still don't understand what the hell he was thinking. But whatever. So anyway, you're talking about the 49ers losing. That was obviously they got beat in overtime with the field goal. What's your note on that game?
Well, yeah, I mean, I went to sleep, but everything that I heard and read after the game was that the Niners got a little bit too aggressive in overtime. Mm-hmm. With a couple of minutes left, they could have run the ball and tick the clock down, but instead they chose to pass and give it back to Seattle, who came down and kicked a game-winning field goal with 1 second left.
Yeah.
So kind of a crushing blow to the 49ers. With a tie, they probably could have locked up the division and really had an inside track on the bye. So interesting, now that they lost that game, it opens the NFC up back a little bit.
It does. It does. You know, I watched the whole game. It was a fascinating game. You know, San Francisco comes out, punches him in the mouth, scores 10 points, looks great. Then all of a sudden, I don't know what happened. Jadeveon Clowney all of a sudden decided he was going to destroy the entire game. And he, well, there was a fumble that he picked up, ran for a touchdown. Then he forced another fumble or like an interception. And he was like, they could not block this dude. Jimmy Garoppolo looked terrible. Kyle Shanahan didn't know what to do. He stopped running the ball. Before you know it, you know, 10-0 turns into 21-10 into the late third quarter. The only thing that saved him was that the San Francisco defensive line made a great play and made Russell fumble the ball. It was kind of crazy. If Fetty tried to run the ball, like it bounced into his hand. He tried to run it. They stripped him. They went in for a touchdown. And it was just kind of a crazy game. But, you know, San Francisco was able to tie it. But, you know, Robbie Gould was hurt. So they had this total off the street kicker who nailed the one at the end of regulation to tie the game. And then he just completely, he shanked that the game winner that ended up, you know, losing it for him. But so, yeah, incredible game. But I agree with you. It opens up the NFC, which is still, you know, I mean, Minnesota's in there, too, after beating Dallas. They're right there, right behind, you know, the Packers.
Tough loss for us in the circuit contest. Tough loss for San Francisco, but we'll bounce back.
That's right. As you've noted, underdogs destroyed it again. And I heard when I hear the recap on Monday mornings on VSiN about, you know, they bring the books on and they're like the biggest day ever.
Yeah,
they just won. I mean, it's noted like in the index, in the WEGS index here, newsflash, this was the worst week, I think, in the history of the index. I mean, it was, I think it was 23% covers.
Wow.
For the favorites, like, if not favorites, but like basically the top of the index, because there are some that are underdogs in there. So yeah, 23.08, three teams covered in this index. So your note of 9-3-1, that's right on.
Yeah. Yeah. And eight upsets as well on money lines. So big time week for the books, and certainly the public got beat down pretty badly, I imagine. So we'll move on. Road teams are still leading too, which is very interesting. 56% cover rate, and the overs and unders are about dead even now. 75-72 lead for the unders, which is a 51% mark. So no real margin there.
Right. There's no trend there. Well, let's go into some interesting notes here. We've got Matt Stafford. That was kind of a surprise. We had communicated about Detroit. I guess it was Saturday night, right? You're like, why is the Bears Detroit line not showing? I'm like, I don't know. Maybe they're pulling Trubisky. Oh, no, it's Matt Stafford. He has a broken back.
Yeah, incredible. And Driscoll came out and actually performed really well in the first half.
He did.
But the Bears got that late touchdown, and from then on, it was going to be the Bears winning that game, it seemed like.
That's right. That's right. They put the line right where it needed to be, right? It was just enough out of reach, 6.5 or something. So, And then, Thielen missed the game. But one of the things that I was surprised, you know, against Kansas City, it seemed like they really bottled up Diggs and really neutralized the passing game. In this one, I mean, they made some adjustments, and it wasn't even Diggs. It was everybody. There were a lot of people contributing, and obviously Dalvin Cook had a huge game. And a big game in the passing game. He had like 80-plus yards receiving as well. So it was the way they did it, you know?
Yeah, the Cowboys just really had some poor play calling down the stretch, too. I thought they were going to go down on that last drive and at least tie the game and get to overtime for us. But the clapper got a little bit conservative there at the end, and that ended up costing them the game.
Exactly. Okay, well, why don't we go over the net yards per play? Why don't you go over that for us?
Dallas with a huge lead, 1.5 net yards per play, which is a half yard better than number two Kansas City and San Francisco. New England falls in at fourth, 0.9 yards. Minnesota, 0.8. The LA Rams at 0.7. And Baltimore at half a yard net per play.
Interesting. Well, that's interesting because Baltimore's, you know, so many yards, but I guess their defense isn't playing that great.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom half, you know, Cincinnati is now eclipsed Miami in the net yards per play negative.
That's hard
Miami's
to do.
Been playing better.
Yeah, no doubt.
But you said that's hard to do.
Yeah.
It's minus 1.9. You know, that's terrible. And then it's Miami, the Jets, the Giants, and there's the Bears, Washington, and Arizona. So in Arizona, you know, negative 0.5, it's mainly, I guess, because their defense isn't very good because their offense is okay.
Yeah, Arizona's been covering week in and week out. I think that's three straight covers for them. And you mentioned Miami. They have covered five straight now. So definitely a team that's playing hard, and so much for tanking for Tua, right?
That's right. I mean, they did what we wanted them to do, right? They beat the Colts. It was really kind of strange, to be honest with you, because, you know, in that game we were kind of expecting, well, we weren't sure if they're going to play well or are they going to take this seriously. No, they came out just like they've been doing, and they're really trying to win. So it's more like Cincinnati that's tanking for Tua right now.
Yeah, seems that way.
In the WEGS index, it's not dissimilar, I suppose. It's in order, I suppose it's different. Patriots are at the top. They kind of reclaim the lead for now. We'll see if they can actually bounce back after that Ravens, you know, loss. 49ers do drop a little bit after, you know, the kind of the big performance by the Seahawks. Cowboys are still right there, number three, then the Ravens, then the Vikings. And then two teams that, you know, I like to enter them in there just because they're on the verge or a little bit back of the other teams are the Texans and the Saints. We talked about the Saints. They had a big letdown against Atlanta this week. Texans have a big game against the Ravens, so we'll see how they come off the bye and if they're going to play as good as they've been playing the last couple of weeks.
It seems to me that, at least in my mind, there's one team here that doesn't really belong. I know you like to trust your numbers, but do you really feel that the Cowboys are quite as good as your numbers are showing?
Well, it's kind of mysterious, right? In the numbers, when you look at the depth of the index, you know, I put it on Wegspool.com. I put it out this morning. They are number one in yards per game. Number one, okay, in the whole league. So they're getting it done on offense. But they're only scoring 28 points a game. So it's red zone efficiency, right?
Yeah.
So they're not number one there. You've got the Ravens being up there and, you know, you've got the Patriots, stuff like that. So it's a little bit of a mystery. And then defensively, I think that the key here is the defense. Their points against it isn't bad, 18.9. But it's the turnover differential, dude. They have zero turnover differential. So to me, I don't weight the categories any differently. They're all the same weight. But when you look at that in terms of games, we've talked about this with the Bills and with other teams. If the guy's going to turn the ball over, and I'm not just saying Dak because it's other guys fumbling the ball, you're going to lose games. It's just football. So when I look at teams that are crushing the differential like the Patriots and the Steelers, who are getting much better, the 49ers had kind of a rough game here. Who's good? The Packers. You know, the Packers' defense isn't that great, but they're plus nine in turnovers.
Right.
They're the teams that are winning games, you know. So it's because it's a multi-metric, that's why you're seeing them. And I think if they – I honestly think the clapper's part of it. If dude can figure out better plays in the red zone, make better decisions, and really kind of prevent some turnovers from happening by just calling different plays. I know that's Kellen Moore and everything, but – dude, the big decisions, they're just getting crushed.
Yeah, I think you're right. Coaching has got to be a big part of that, too. But the turnovers certainly can be a big factor as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No question. You have a spot besides going into the Circa contest. You like a particular game under?
Yeah. One play I locked in already is the first half under. And the Chicago and LA Rams game, the total right now is 20.5. And I think that we saw last weekend just how poorly this LA Rams offense has been performing lately, and Goff just can't get it right, and they're not really moving the ball much, and they're not effective in the red zone. And on the other side, you've got a Chicago offense, which has been inept all year long. So I like both of these defenses to keep this game lower scoring in the first half, and I think there's some value at 20.5.
Yeah. I heard that that's been crashing down.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I heard the game total is down to 40.5. I don't know what it opened at, but everybody's kind of seeing this as an under game. So, and we could talk about that in the spots because that does kind of factor in.
Definitely.
So we didn't do well. 1-4. God, we're getting crushed, brother. we're down there now. We just got to keep plugging and see what we can do. I'm disappointed in our performance, but to be honest with you, it's just been a wacky week. I mean, the consensus picks, I think they went 1-4 or 1-3-1. So it's not like we're, you know, getting housed out there. I'm sure somebody's doing well, but
I think I saw the leaders at 38.
Okay. So yeah, we're a ways back, but we'll just try to keep at it, you know, focus on the process and hopefully get better as we go through.
Yeah. And we still have a shot at that fourth quarter too. We got to be looking ahead to something. So.
Oh, yeah. No question. No question. So the first thing we're going to note is the Steelers game. I guess I should have put this in spots because we never picked a Thursday game.
Right.
I'm really big on the Steelers here. I mean, they are 2.5-point dogs. I guess it's maybe up to 3 in some spots. I got it at 3, actually. Yeah, they're 2.5 right now. I bet online. So they're 2.5-point dogs on the road at Cleveland. I get it. You know, Cleveland's at home. They won a game, divisional game. They should be playing better, but under the radar, this Steelers team's won, like, what do they won? 4 out of 5 games? I mean, this team's playing really good. The defense is really good. They're definitely forcing turnovers. I really like that pass rush. And I don't know why you would warrant Cleveland giving up a lot of points at all. I mean, I know that they should have scored more points last week against the Bills, but they didn't. And I don't know. What's your take on that game?
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. I think that Pittsburgh has got to be the play here. Their defense has been great since the Minkah Fitzpatrick trade, and I think that he's really brought them some energy, and he's scoring touchdowns too. He's got two in the last 2 weeks, so not that that's something that can continue, but I believe that this Pittsburgh defense, now up third ranked in Football Outsiders DVOA, so they're facing off against the Cleveland offense that has just been terrible so far this season, and I'm not sure that Baker Mayfield and company will be able to do much against them. And I think that if you're getting points there with a better defense, that's a good way to go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, well, let's jump into the other circus spots just because we probably won't pick that game. Unfortunately, we would have to pick it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. We've got Dallas. They are 3-point favorites at Detroit. Not sure how you feel about this. We already heard how you feel about Dallas. But we don't know if Stafford's going to play. Driscoll probably will play. That's my take. And I mean, I probably won't back the Dallas in this spot, but at the same time, I think that's the right side personally.
I agree. I would have to lean to Dallas, but certainly don't know where this number is going to come out either. It looks like this one's off the board at most shops, so it's a good chance that if Driscoll is announced the starter, it could be a much higher line. So that would certainly change the handicap a little bit.
Agreed. Agreed. Next game is New Orleans is at Tampa. They're 5.5-point favorites. That probably was one of the biggest shocks of the week. I know that we had kind of spotted the Colts as being a spot that could be trouble, but more for the spread. I don't think anybody – I think the points – we had talked about Atlanta being a potential, at least I did, about that could be a potential spot to go against. It was a big number for a divisional game. Mm-hmm. But Atlanta really kind of stuffed that offense. I don't know what happened in New Orleans.
Yeah, it just seems like they took a week off and didn't plan for the Atlanta Falcons at all. You got to wonder what Sean Payton was doing in terms of game planning. But I think you mentioned on Sunday that Quinn was calling plays for the Atlanta defense, and clearly that gave them a little bit of motivation on their side.
Well, that's funny. I think I was wrong about that.
Oh, really?
Everybody said that he was calling it before this game, so they actually took play calling away from him,
okay.
Which is crazy. So whoever was calling the plays did a much better job than Quinn. That's what everybody's saying on the radio this week, so I was incorrect. But either way, they're calling better plays. And my concern here is that, you know, obviously Kamara came off the injury, didn't play that great. They couldn't run the ball against Atlanta. And Tampa's decent against the run. Mm-hmm. So obviously Michael Thomas got his on Sunday. You can definitely throw against this Tampa secondary. It's just 5.5. New Orleans was covering every number. I guess they just had a slip up. I'm going to stay away here, Action. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I mean, I would lean to Tampa Bay. This is a big number for a divisional road team to be laying. So that's how I feel about it. But I'm cool if we pass on it, too.
Cool. Next one is Carolina against Atlanta. We just mentioned Atlanta played great. But Carolina, you know, they didn't cover against Green Bay. Green Bay came through in the clutch. But Kyle Allen showed me something in that game. It's snowing. It's rough. They basically were an inch away from tying that game, or at least getting it to a point where they could go for two.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing, inexplicable. Why did was it Riverboat Ron that went for two in that game when they were down by 14? Was that right?
Yeah, I think a lot of coaches have been doing that recently, and they're claiming that it's a good analytical move because even if you fail there, you can come back and you have another chance to get two on the second touchdown. So. And the theory is that if you get the two in the first touchdown, then you're only trailing by six. And then when you score the second touchdown, you have a chance to win the game. So I think when you do the math, it does make a little bit of sense, but it really comes down to your percentage of chance of success of getting the 2-point conversion.
Something totally.
We talk about with the Shockers all the time.
Which we switched and it was successful. But anyway, I digress. My point is Carolina, Allen showed me something. He played well. They shut down Cam for the season, and he seemed to take it right in stride. He did have some turnovers, but he played really well in that game. So this is more of a toss-up than I guess I thought it would be, especially with Atlanta playing better. Mm-hmm. I just don't know if I can trust Atlanta in this spot. Do you have any thoughts on this one?
No, I'm really confounded by this one because of the way Atlanta showed up last week. It makes me wonder if that's going to happen again or if that was just a fluke performance. So I do like Carolina. I told you I backed them last week, and really I think they had a good chance to cover that game late. Just couldn't get it into the end zone. So I do think it's kind of a lot of points for a divisional game, to be honest, and I would probably lean to Atlanta, but I'm probably thinking we should pass.
Yeah, agreed. Here's another divisional game. Indianapolis is hosting Jacksonville. They're 3-point favorites at home. You know, Jacksonville laid a dud in London. Before that game, I definitely would have been all over them, and you know, the index says I should be too. Indy just isn't covering numbers. I mean, even when it's three, they're not covering numbers. So I don't know if Jacoby Brissett is back or not. I think he might play. But even if he does, I mean, that was our only cover, right? Vinatieri kept missing field goals and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm all over Jacksonville here with the points. I'm not sure how you feel.
Yeah, I am too. I think that this is a good spot for Jacksonville. They're coming off of the bye week. And I agree that Hoyer or Brissett doesn't really matter to me. I think Jacksonville is going to be in a good position to cover this game. They're switching back to Nick Foles,
who oh, really?
Is coming back off the injury. And I think the only one question mark could be if you think Foles is going to be rusty when he gets back into the pocket. But their running game has been pretty good this year. And the one weakness in the Colts defense this season has been the rush. So if Fournette gets it going, I think that they'll rely less on Nick Foles and his arm and perhaps be in this game for a cover. I expect it to be pretty low scoring as well.
Okay, I gotcha. Yeah, I mean, maybe it's the way it's played. And that's kind of how the Colts have been playing, those kind of lower scoring, grinded out last second games like every yeah. week. The next one is Minnesota against Denver. Minnesota's a 10.5-point favorite at home. They obviously are coming off the huge win against Dallas. They've played really well of late. You know, honestly, Denver is better in the index than on the field. You know what I mean? Like, their defense is really good. And even though we don't know if this quarterback, what is his name, Brandon Allen?
Yeah.
One of the Allen brothers?
Triplets.
He's an unknown quantity, especially on the road to Minnesota, which is sounds like a daunting task. It's a big number, 10.5. So are you on Minnesota here?
Yeah, I think that this one's got to be Minnesota. That's the side I would lean to. Kirk Cousins in 1 o'clock games at home has been really good in his career. So I think this is another spot where it's likely they're going to put up plenty of points. And I'm not sure that the Denver offense will be able to match them. So I think even though it is a big number, I think it's one that Minnesota could easily cover.
Okay. We should pencil this one in as a possible then. I don't ever like laying 10.5 points in the NFL, but I hear you.
And we have been wrong with Minnesota games the last few weeks. So something to consider.
Pick them right. Yeah, I know. When we want them, they don't do it. It's kind of like Jacksonville, but whatever. Next game is Washington against the Jets. Washington is a short favorite at 1.5 at home. The Jets got off the schneid last week by beating the Giants, another one of our picks. Really weird game. You know, the Giants, I don't know. It was weird. I mean, the Giants just aren't good. But the Jets aren't great either, but their defense is okay, you know? I've heard that Haskins is going to start for Washington for the rest of the season.
Correct.
That should probably play into the handicap. And on paper, yeah, these teams are even in the index. They're giving the shade to the Jets. But which Jets team is going to show up? The team that loses at Miami or the team that you know played pretty good against the Giants, you know, East Rutherford?
Yeah, I mean, I think a big component of this handicap has got to be the Haskins starting at quarterback.
Yep.
This Washington offense has been horrible this season. When you look back at their games, they have not put up very many points week in and week out. They're getting destroyed. And the Washington offense is only averaging 12 points per game. And although New York's numbers have been almost as bad, 14.4, I think that their offense has been improving the last few weeks. And Darnold is finally starting to move the ball a little bit. And when you consider these two offenses going against each other, the real question is which one would you rather have? And I would side with the Jets every time.
Okay. And you're getting the points too, right? So it's like if these teams are pretty even, might as well take a couple of points, right? Or 1.5.
Mm-hmm.
It may come out to 2 tomorrow. We'll see. Okay. The next one, Buffalo against Miami. Buffalo is a 6-point favorite at Miami. Kind of a curious point total here, or at least a spread. Buffalo has been playing, you know, we like Buffalo. I like McDermott, but they can't cover numbers. I mean, they let us down in the contest a little bit. At least, I guess that was my pick. Maybe we didn't put them in the contest, right? At 2.5, because it would have been a push.
Mm-hmm.
But Miami's been covering numbers, and they are at home. It doesn't appear that they're giving up. So, I don't know, man. I mean, I'm not saying to back Miami again, but I'm definitely not going with Buffalo.
In the first meeting, if you recall, Miami kept it close too. I think it was within a touchdown late in the fourth quarter, but yep. Buffalo ended up winning the game by 10 and failing to cover on the 17-point spread that time. So yep. Now the venue has flipped to Miami, and this number is down to 6, and I'm even seeing a couple of 5.5s pop up today. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I would probably say if we're going to be picking this game, I would be looking at the Buffalo side, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I'm not okay. sure that Miami can keep this run going, and eventually you got to figure they're likely going to run out of steam. So
okay.
we can talk about it later, but I'd be happy to pass on it if you're not inclined.
No, let's pass then. If we're on different sides, let's pass. That's not a good position for the Side Action Podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting game here. Baltimore is hosting Houston. Baltimore's a 4.5-point favorite. They did not have a letdown against Cincinnati. In fact, they almost scored at halftime. I mean, it was like, I looked up, it was like 35-10.
Yeah,
this team is a juggernaut, but Houston is a good squad. And as I've noted in the index, they're pretty close to one another. The defense hasn't been harmed by losing J.J. Watt, at least in the two games they have without him. Baltimore seems to be on a mission, but I like the Texans coming off the bye. They're not a Weggs index pick, but I would shade towards Houston in this one.
Even going on the road, you think that Houston is a team that will show up and be able to defend that Lamar Jackson-led offense?
I do, and I'll tell you why. I think that the way that the Baltimore's been playing, obviously did great against the Patriots, right? Mm-hmm. But the Texans do have guys who can clog up the run, and I think that that's the way you beat this team. You make Jackson a pure passer instead of just that running option. But maybe you're right. I don't know. Maybe they're on a run, an epic run, and they're going to win out. I think that Watson, he never seems to get beat by a lot of points, and he's going to sling it against this Baltimore defense. So I just think that it's going to be a shootout, and it's going to be closer than that 4.5. That's just the way I look at it. They might lose the game, but it'll just be closer than 4.5.
Yeah, it does appear that Houston has pretty good numbers against the run, 6th ranked according to DVOA, mm-hmm. which is ever important when you're playing against the Baltimore number 1 ranked run offense. One thing I'm curious to look at and see how this Baltimore defensive line has gotten pressure on quarterbacks, because I think we've talked before, that's how you play against Houston. If you can get pressure on Deshaun Watson, you can shut down their offense, and it does look like they're near the bottom. So I don't hate this pick. You could maybe talk me into it.
Okay. The next one is San Francisco. They're at home this time against Arizona. They're 11.5-point favorites. Obviously, they got, you know, I wouldn't say embarrassed. It was just Jadeveon Clowney just completely disrupted their offense. And more importantly, Emmanuel Sanders, I don't know what his status is. He left the game with some weird injury. He was holding his rib, and he kind of changed their offense, the complexion of it. Seems like nobody on San Francisco could catch the ball. That was another takeaway, that guys were just dropping balls and there was interceptions because it tipped balls all the time. So that 11.5 seems like a big number. I mean, Arizona stayed within that number at home, and they've been covering numbers. So it's just a big number for me, even though San Francisco is clearly a better team.
Yeah, I would agree. I think we watched them a couple of Thursdays ago, and Arizona had a chance to win it late, and they stayed toe-to-toe with the San Francisco team. So I agree. I think this is a big number, and you're spot on. When Emmanuel Sanders left the game on Monday night, it was clear that offense was not the same. So definitely something to monitor, and maybe we could look at that last minute before we look at this pick.
Okay. Here's a game I do like. I'm sure you probably won't be on with me, but New England is coming off the bye, as is Philadelphia. They're traveling to the Eagles. New England is right now a 3.5-point favorites on the road. I know that the Eagles have sort of played better. I think that they have in general. And obviously the Patriots got, you know, borderline embarrassed, at least in the first half of that Baltimore game. But New England's clearly the better team to me here. And 3.5. It's obviously over the hook. That sucks. That hook kills you. But I think they're going to beat Philly, and they're going to exploit that bad secondary.
I think I like this one as well. It seems to me that this number is built more based on the Philadelphia name and what they've mm-hmm. been in seasons past compared to what they've actually done on the field this season. You're right. That pass defense has been miserable this year, near the bottom of the league. against the pass. So, of course, we know that New England is looking to pass the ball, and it would be helpful to see Sony Michel get a little bit more action too, but I think I agree. I like the New England side in this one.
Okay, great. I agree on something. Okay, Oakland is hosting Cincinnati. Cincinnati looked terrible. Your guy, what was his name?
Ryan Finley. Kodak Finley, yeah.
Yeah, he was not up to snuff against Baltimore. Oakland is a 10.5-point favorite, still a big number, at home in the black hole. Actually, it was really kind of cool to see last week when Oakland ended up beating the Chargers in the black hole. And like I said, the last primetime game, and Chucky was running around and slapping all the guys' hands. It was kind of cool to see. Gotta love Chucky. Obviously, it's a big number for them to cover, but Oakland is playing pretty well, and Cincinnati is not. Not sure what else to say. I don't know, 10.5 is a big number, but maybe it's a stay-away spot, but I think Oakland's going to win this game.
Yeah, I definitely think Oakland's going to win, but for me, 10.5 points is just a lot to lay with this team, the way they play defense. Right. So I'd be okay with passing on it.
Perfect. The next one is the Rams against the Bears. This is the Sunday night game. My Bears, I won't say yours because I know you've got your Colts there. they are 6.5-point dogs on the road at the Rams. Yeah, the Rams did what I kind of expected them to do. They got beat by the Steelers. And I like good defensive teams against the Rams because they can't run the ball anymore. I don't know if it's – they're not giving Gurley carries in the second half. It's noted now. And it seems like McVay is outthinking himself. And Jared Goff, we know he gets scared when he gets a good pass rush. It's going to be a nicer weather than last year when they played the Bears. But yeah. 6.5 seems like a big number, even though the Bears have sucked. It's just a big enough number that with this total coming crashing down, it's a big number to cover.
I totally agree. I think the Chicago Bears defensive line is going to be looking for some blood this weekend, and hopefully it's Jared Goff's blood. So I agree that 6.5 is way too many points, especially with the total that's nearing 40 already. So I'm right there with you. I'm on the Bears. Bet them already. Be happy to lock this one in.
Nice. All right. We got a few. The last game is in Mexico City, actually. It's not a home game for either team. Kansas City's playing the Chargers. Kansas City's currently a 3.5-point favorite. It's interesting. The Chargers played really, pretty well against the Raiders, and they have been in recent weeks enough to be in games. But, old man Rivers is turning the ball over a little bit. And the Chiefs, God, man. We talked about this last week on the podcast. When Mahomes doesn't play, that defense plays okay. And then they go to the Titans and just get crushed. I mean, it was like they were up big. They're up by 10 or 11 points, and they just can't stop the run. So Melvin Gordon's been playing better for the Chargers. I don't know what to say in this game. It's kind of a stay away. I think the Chiefs are going to win, but, dude, I mean, I don't know what Chiefs defense is going to show up. We know the offense will be there.
This seems like a classic spot where Phillip Rivers brings his team out and covers or even perhaps pulls off an upset. Mm-hmm. And I think that is probably the side I would lean to in this one. Mahomes did look okay last week, but of course they gave up tons of yards and a couple of big plays to that Tennessee Titans offense. So I do think that the defense took a step back. It looked like they were getting better, but I half wonder if Mahomes coming back led them to let up a little bit on their side, thinking that the star has returned and they don't have to work as hard. So
right.
I do think I would lean to the Chargers in this one, but probably not enough to surpass our other picks for this week.
Right. Agreed. I mean, it'd still be a fun game. I mean, I do like seeing that Phil Rivers, I've talked about this. Dadgummit. He doesn't swear.
Yeah.
Dadgummit. But it should be fun. Hopefully it will be a good game. Last year, if you remember, our first live event with the podcast.
Yeah.
That was supposed to be the first Mexico City game. It was the Rams Chiefs and – of course, they ended up playing it in L.A., but that was that crazy, 50 to 45 game. Was it 50? What was the final score of that game?
55-52, I think.
It was over. That was Broccoli Bob. Became Broccoli Bob that night. Yeah. So, it kind of harkens me back to that. It probably won't be that kind of scoring game, but should be fun. All right. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Sign Action Podcast. Football's kind of winding down, at least for college. We still got a lot of pro stuff in the playoffs, but we'll start integrating college basketball soon enough. I know that you've been killing it in that venue.
Yeah, I've been doing pretty well in the college basketball games. Stepped back last night, and tonight's faring mediocre thus far. Ohio State currently demolishing Villanova. I don't know if you have that one on in the background. We certainly will dive into a little bit and see if we can work that in. As we mentioned last year, it's kind of difficult with college hoops because the lines only come out about 24 hours in advance of the game times, but we'll see. We figured it, we got into a good groove last year, so hopefully we can figure something out again.
Yeah, if we can do, you know, the later, like the Thursday night or whatever we were doing before, at least to cover the weekend games, that was always better. I mean, the thing about college basketball, which was great if you are a fan, is, you know, there's really great games almost every day of the week. Sometimes Friday isn't that great, but, you know, big Monday and there's Tuesday games and, you know, Thursdays are great college basketball games too. So that's what I like about the sport. And certain conferences obviously play on certain days, so you can kind of get geared up for those matchups. And I enjoyed it last year doing the podcast, obviously post football season. It was really our bread and butter. It's what we did, you know, for a couple months there. And it's a good time. So I'm looking forward to that segment. We will close out, you know, I guess it's three more weeks of regular season. Probably should do some bowl preview or something like that. And then, you know, get ready for the NFL playoffs before we do all college basketball. So
yeah, sounds like a good plan.
Yeah. All right. Well, follow us at Side Action Pod on Twitter. Follow me, Wegs, at Wegspool on Twitter and Instagram.
You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Peace out. That's a wrap for this episode of the Side Action Podcast. We appreciate all of your listens and thank you for joining us. We'll see you all again next week on Thursday for some more hot picks and side action. Side Action Podcast, its owners and associates take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by the show hosts or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of this podcast, and opinions between talk show hosts may conflict. Individuals following the advice given on the podcast accept their own risk of losses from wagers made, as the Side Action Podcast, its owners, hosts, associates, or guests will not guarantee any advice given. The opinions and advice given on the Side Action Podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Intro and outro and transition music credits. Song titles, Jerry 5 and District 4 by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.org. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0. creativecommons.org/licenses/by 3.0.